The Knowledgeable Provider podcast is intended primarily to entertain, also to inform, but it is not a substitute for actual medical training and should not be used by anyone to diagnose or treat any medical condition in themselves or others. If you need medical advice, please make an appointment to see your own knowledgeable medical provider. The opinions expressed by me and anyone else who happens to appear on the podcast are solely those of the people expressing them and are not necessarily representative of any other entities. Other than the lunches at the office, I do not receive any sort of compensation from pharmaceutical or medical device companies, and I have no other relevant financial disclosures. Look, this is all for fun, okay? Don't sue me. All right, on with the show. So I listened back to the podcast episode about the gender roles in nursing. It's been several months since we recorded that, and this is the first time I've actually heard it since we recorded it. And I thought I would talk a little more about my experience being a male nurse. I don't think that's really a big deal these days. I feel like any stigma that might have existed in the past about males being nurses is gone at this point. I'm 41, so I mostly grew up in the 1990s in the South. And I would say I was not surrounded by progressive attitudes, progressive people about much of anything. So I guess I probably would have grown up with stereotypical attitudes about nursing being a primarily female thing to do. I'm trying to think about who the first male nurse I ever had any contact with was. I remember I broke my ankle when I was 14, and the person at the clinic who took my staples out after the surgery was a male. I don't know if he was a nurse or not, but that seemed like the role he was serving in. He could have been a PA or a practitioner. I'm not sure. I don't remember any other male nurses in any settings that I would have been in as a kid. And then fast forwarding ahead a little bit to when I started in EMS, I think the person that I can think of farthest back was a nurse in the emergency room at Shoals Hospital. I never knew him personally. Really, what I remember about him is that he was very pretty, and I think he probably knew it. I remember him sort of being someone who strutted around a bit. Maybe I was just mad because I was not pretty. I don't know. But maybe that's the earliest memory I have of a male nurse. I remember another guy who worked in the emergency room at Russellville Hospital. And again, I did not know him personally. But neither one of those guys struck me as people who would fit the stereotype of any kind of effeminate or gay or less masculine traits that might have been stereotypical for a male nurse. And I guess if I had to say what those were, stereotypes of a male nurse, I would think of a person who is small, petite, effeminate, gay, catty. But those guys weren't like that at all. So that would have been around 2000, the very early 2000, the aughts. So 20 years ago, roughly. I don't remember the numbers, but Dr. Powell made a comment in our previous episode about the percentage of the nursing workforce that is male now, or at least however current those numbers were. So I never planned on being a nurse at all. I was one of those paramedics that swore up and down that I would never, ever, ever be a nurse, that the last thing I would ever do in a million years was become a nurse. And looking back, I'm not sure why that attitude exists or existed. Doesn't really make any sense. I guess when I was younger and more insecure, I fell into that thing about, we don't wipe butts. Those are butt wipers, those nurses. And I don't know where that comes from, really. Maybe it was resentment because we knew they made a lot more money than we did and generally were treated with a lot more respect than we were. At least that's how we saw it. Maybe it was jealousy. Maybe it came from us not feeling like we were being recognized for the work we were doing. And I'm speaking in plural. I'm saying we, but really I can only speak for myself, of course. But I would say that among my peers at that time, that seemed to be sort of the prevailing attitude. And of course, EMS, at least in my experience, was mostly male-dominated. I would guess 60-40, 70-30, male-female. And I don't know if that has changed over time. Well, I don't know if that's accurate at all for all of EMS, and I don't know if it's changed over time. But I think it's fair to say there were more female nurses and more male paramedics or EMTs or first responders. So if you had told 20-year-old me that I was going to become a nurse, much less a family nurse practitioner working in an outpatient setting, I would have laughed in your face. That's the last thing that I ever would have thought I would do with my life. I intended to be a paramedic forever. I thought I could be one of those people that manages to make a career out of that. So I volunteered in EMS for, I guess, 4 years before I finished paramedic school and got a paying EMS job. I worked part-time for another 4 years before I started full-time. So by the time I started working full-time as a paramedic, I guess I had about 8 years of EMS experience altogether. And then I worked 6 years full-time. And by that time, I knew I had to do something else. I knew that I had to get out of EMS, that I was not going to be one of those people that makes a career out of it. It's just too hard, or it was just too hard for me. So that would have been 14 years in altogether. So I looked around to see what my options were. I already had some student debt at the time. I already had some student debt, much like I still do. And working as a paramedic, really, you're not making a ton of money. So I felt like I needed to find something that I could do for the least amount of money possible, and that would take the least amount of time possible. And I knew I wanted to stay in the medical field. I've never really done anything else, and at the time, couldn't see myself doing anything else seriously. And so the thing that made the most sense was the paramedic to RN bridge program at Calhoun. I think the program had just started like the year before. I think my class was the second class to go through it after they started. So that came along just at the right time. So I went through that. And the way they did that at the time was the first semester, they put the paramedics and the LPNs in separate classes. So the first semester, it was just us paramedics all together. And then second semester, we joined with the LPNs who were bridging to RN. And then the third semester, I think we all got lumped in with the traditional RN students. I think. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think that's right. I know the first semester we were segregated. It was just paramedics and just LPNs in separate classes. So in that first semester, there were a few female paramedics, I think, but most of us were male. So there wasn't really a lot of culture shock there other than just trying to adapt to the nursing way of looking at the world, which is quite different. Maybe I'll do an episode on that sometime. And then even through the second and third semesters, we still tended to kind of clump together. The paramedics still sort of sat together in class and did group projects together and still pretty much hung around each other. I don't remember feeling odd or out of place really any more than any other nursing student during my clinical rotations. I feel like we, the people who were already paramedics and LPNs, probably had an advantage over the traditional nursing students who were getting into the clinical setting for the very first time, whereas we all had, in some cases, many years of experience taking care of patients already. I did learn a lot in nursing school. I was very comfortable taking care of patients, but for the most part, the things that I learned in paramedic school didn't have a whole lot to do with what we did in nursing school. So I found that for the most part, while the prior experience was helpful, the actual paramedic training and knowledge didn't really come into play so much in the nursing world. Maybe more so in the ER, or if someone happened to code on the floor somewhere. So I did learn a lot, although to some extent, I guess it still just sort of felt like a hoop to jump through to move on to the next career phase. I had made a lot of friends in pediatrics from doing the pediatric critical care transport. The way that was set up was there was a specialized pediatric critical care ambulance that lived at the hospital, and there was a nurse and a respiratory therapist at the hospital to staff the truck. And then whenever they had a transfer, Hemsy would send an on-duty ambulance, so one of us would drive and the other one would ride in the back. So it ended up being nurse, paramedic, respiratory therapist in the back, and then EMT or paramedic in the front driving. So we would go out to the outlying facilities and pick kids up and bring them back to Huntsville, or take kids from Huntsville to the bigger places, which were typically Birmingham, Nashville, St. Jude's, and Memphis. So we ended up spending a lot of time with the kids care crews. Kids Care was the name of the program. So I made friends with a lot of the pediatric folks that way. So when it came time to figure out where I wanted to precept and where I might want to work, I decided that I wanted to do pediatric ICU. So I pulled my strings and got myself in there to precept in my last semester of nursing school. There was one male nurse who worked in there. And he was probably the most kind of stereotypical male nurse person that I had ever been around. Not gay, but maybe a little more effeminate mannerisms and that sort of thing. But he was awesome. I loved being around him, loved working with him after I got done with school. Learned a lot from him. He was wonderful. He's actually a CRNA now and is wonderful at that as well. And as far as I could tell when I was in there as a student, still sort of looking from the outside, I never really picked up on any discrimination or othering that was happening to him from the female nurses. It seemed like they all enjoyed working with each other and they were all on the same team. So I ended up getting hired as a nurse in PICU. And that was my experience as well. I feel like I meshed really well with all the female nurses. I never really picked up on any cattiness or ostracizing or feeling like an outsider. Everybody was really accepting. And really all I ever heard as far as discussing working with men versus working with women, most of what the female nurses would say is that they preferred working with men, or at least they liked having some men around. I don't know what they might have said when I was not around to hear it, but I heard that comment a lot from several different female nurses, and it was fine. I don't remember getting any weird vibes from patients or families, really. They usually tried not to assign me to take care of teenage girls just because of the potential awkwardness for the patient, not for me. I think I said something on the other podcast about patients requesting not to have a male nurse, but thinking back on that now, I'm not sure if it was the patients actually requesting that or if the charge nurse making the assignment just sort of assumed that. I don't really know. I don't remember ever being fired or having a patient specifically request not to have me as their nurse. Maybe it happened and I just don't remember it.
Every once in a while, it would happen that somebody would assume I was a physician because I was male, even though at the time we were wearing these gigantic identification cards underneath our badge that very clearly said nurse. And normally that was no big deal, except there was one doctor who worked in the PICU, and I want to invite her on the podcast at some point because she is absolutely brilliant, maybe overall the best physician I've ever been around. I feel so privileged that I had the opportunity to learn from her. She's probably the only triple board certified physician I've ever met. She is a pediatric intensivist, an anesthesiologist, and a pediatrician. But to be honest, I'm too scared to invite her on the podcast because she can be intimidating. She expected us to know our stuff. She would quiz us and she would tear into us if she didn't think we knew what we were doing or that we didn't care. Just an amazing, amazing doctor. But she definitely had a thing about people thinking that she was a nurse because she was female. And I remember one night we were having a little powwow outside a patient's room in the hall. It was me and her and maybe a respiratory therapist, maybe a couple other staff members, and then the patient's family. And I have no idea which patient it was or what we were talking about or anything. But we were going around the circle introducing ourselves, or maybe someone else was introducing us. I don't remember quite how it was going. But I remember that somebody introduced me just by name. And this doctor was standing kind of across the circle from me. And as soon as my name was said, she pipes up and goes, "Nurse," just to make sure that everyone knew. And I don't mean this in any kind of disparaging way. I thought it was funny. And I love, love, love her to death. Maybe someday I'll work up the courage to get her on this podcast to talk about something, because she could talk for days and days and days about all of her experience and knowledge. And maybe I wouldn't be too scared to ask her a question now that I don't work with her anymore.
But yeah, I would say as far as any stigma or mean comments or discrimination, none of that really happened to me. Or if it did, I was too oblivious to pick up on it. It turns out I did not love working in the PICU. I stayed there for 2 years and then moved to PACU. I did struggle some during that time, kind of adapting to life being stuck in the hospital instead of being out in the world in the ambulance. I do remember at times staring out the window in the break room or out the window in the patient's rooms. The PICU's up on the fourth floor at Women's and Children's, and it's kind of in a, it kind of like juts out above the front of the hospital. So the whole thing is lined by windows. So every patient's room has a nice view of the outside, and the break room has a big window, the view of the outside. And I do remember kind of staring forlornly out the window on rough nights, wishing I was out riding around in the truck instead of stuck with whatever situation I was having to deal with. So I guess that was the biggest obstacle as far as transitioning from EMS to nursing for me. But I don't think that had anything to do really with my gender. I do remember one horrible time when I feel like I really got shit on by a charge nurse. And this was a night when I had gotten pulled out to the pediatric floor. If we didn't have enough patients in PICU to justify the number of nurses we had, somebody would either go home or be, we called it being pulled. I guess other places might call it being floated or moved or whatever. But we would have to go work either on the pediatric floor or in the neonatal ICU on the side for like not that sick babies. So this was a night where I had to go work out on the floor, and the assignment they gave me just sucked. There were a couple of kids out there who had been in the PICU and then transitioned to the floor, so they gave me those, and then I had more patients on top of that. I want to say I guess I had 5 or 6 to take care of. I don't know. And that was bad enough because I never worked on a floor before. I'd never taken care of more than 1 or 2 patients at a time, so just the number of patients was bad enough. And then in this particular instance, the two that had been in PICU, one was a kid that had been in there for like a long time, and I can't remember what the underlying issue was, but they kept having to take out parts of his bowel. He had a real sick, dead bowel. He ended up actually going somewhere else, I want to say Cincinnati, to try to get a bowel transplant. I don't know how all that went, but he was a sick little guy. And he had been there for weeks and weeks, I think, finally transitioned from the ICU back out onto the floor. And at that point, he was doing well, but everybody was still worried about him. And, you know, it was still a freaky kind of situation and still a little bit tenuous. And the other former PICU patient, the other PICU graduate I had, was a type 1 diabetic whose pump had malfunctioned, and he came in DKA. Although at that point, we did not know that his pump had malfunctioned. We didn't know that was the reason. So he came in DKA, got turned around and corrected in the ICU, went out to the floor where they put his pump back on. So that's where he was. And I don't even remember what was going on with the other patients. But so what ended up happening was the bowel kid got sick. I think he was vomiting. And with him, that was like the end of the world. It was like a super big deal that he was sick and vomiting. So all of my attention was on him as the diabetic kid's pump is malfunctioning and he's going back into DKA. So it was kind of this impossible situation where I really needed to be in two places at once. And it turned into this big nightmare because the diabetic kid's family obviously knew something was going wrong with him, but I was not there. So they felt like nobody was paying attention to him, which was true. And just it put me in a really bad situation. And so eventually when I was able to escape from the gut kid and get back to the diabetic kid, we kind of realized what was going on. He actually went back to the ICU. So I got him transferred back in there. I'll never forget. So the ICU and the peds floor are on the same floor of the hospital. The ICU, the entrance to the ICU is kind of down at the end of one of the halls on the pediatric floor. So when it was time to transfer that kid back, I just walked back into the PICU to give report instead of doing it on the phone. I guess that was also an excuse for me to hide for a little while. But I just remember going in there and I sat down at the desk and I started to try to give my report and I couldn't even speak. I just busted out crying, like sobbing tears. I put my head down on the desk. I was just like boo-hooing. And I can't remember who the nurse was that I was giving report to, but she just very patiently sat there and watched me until I finished sobbing and crying. And then we went on with it. I gave my report. The patient got transferred. That had to be my worst night ever in the hospital. So after it all settled down and everything chilled out, I was already a little bit upset at being given that crappy assignment. And at some point when I touched base with the charge nurse out there who had made the assignment, after all this had gone down, clearly I was like losing my shit and not okay. Her comment to me was, well, now you know what it feels like to work out here. And that was it. No sympathy. No, I'm sorry I gave you this bullshit assignment. Sorry you got pulled. Whatever. Thank you for coming out here and trying to help. No. It was,
well, now you know what it's like. Now you know what it feels like.
And maybe that didn't have anything to do with being a man. Maybe she would have said that to anybody. But I guess if I had to pinpoint a specific instance of where maybe I got treated a little unfairly, that's really about the only one I can think of, which is probably not bad for 2 years. And that being my first 2 years out of nursing school at that. So after that, I transferred to PACU. There was one other male nurse who came a little bit after me. And I think he's actually running the PACU now. I think he's the nurse manager down there now. But that was at Women's and Children's. I moved over to PACU at Maine. The charge nurse on my weekend shift there was a male. Super interesting guy that had been a welder, like did a whole career as a welder. I'm reasonably sure it's a welder. It might be pipe fitter, boiler maker, it's some sort of trade, but I'm 88% sure it was welding. Retired from that and decided he wanted to do something else. So he went to nursing school. And you know, those people are always the best, nurses or doctors or whoever, that do something else and then come into medicine later. And he was fantastic. Great nurse. Great person. Great person to work for. I'm pretty sure he was the only other male there until right before I left. There was another guy that started there. There were a handful of male nurses up on the different floors in the hospital. I can't remember if any of the circulators in the OR were men. I want to say, not that I remember. I want to say most of them were female, if not all of them were female. CRNAs, probably most of them were male. That is one stereotype about male nurses that might be true, is that a lot of them come into nursing with the express goal of going on to anesthesia school or NP school. But obviously that's true of a lot of female nurses as well. So I don't know if that's just a male thing or not. But I do remember people having the general idea that, oh, you're a guy in nursing, so that must mean you want to go on and do something else. And at the time, I really did not. That is ultimately what I ended up doing. But when I came into bedside nursing. I had no plan really to do anything else. Just like when I came into EMS, I didn't have much of a plan to do anything else. And then the same thing happened to me. I kind of got to the point where I was just ready to move on. It was just time to do something else. But really, of all those male nurses, I don't think many of them at all fit the kind of male nurse stereotype. Really, almost all of them were straight, hyper-masculine, just regular dudes. And of course, if anybody was the stereotypical gay male nurse, that would be me. I think it's fair to say that I probably pass for being straight. I don't think people who don't know me would look at me and assume that I was gay. I don't really have feminine mannerisms or speech patterns. I probably dress more like a straight guy, or at least I did before my husband taught me how to dress myself. And another thing that came up during the other podcast episode was whether or not that actually influenced my experience as a male nurse actually being gay, because I suppose there could be some element of female nurses feeling more comfortable with me because they knew I was gay and that I wasn't somebody who was running around chasing tail. You know, there's the whole stereotype about the medical community in general where it's like Grey's Anatomy and everybody's sleeping with everybody, you know, in the hospital on shift, in the supply rooms. And that was never my experience at all with anybody, male or female. I do know of several nurse-doctor relationships that happened outside the hospital. But as far as in the hospital, the only thing I ever picked up on there was a doctor and a nurse who would, like, very obviously kind of be all over each other and making eyes at each other to the point where it made everybody uncomfortable that was around them. And they would literally, like, disappear together and then come back all sweaty. And it was just, I mean, it was absolutely disgusting. it was not hot. It was not anything other than just gross, just because they were just flaunting it in everybody's face. There was nothing Grey's Anatomy about that. It was just gross. So that was not my experience at all, personally. But again, I was not the person running around looking for that either. In fact, if anything, I was always disappointed that there weren't more stereotypical, you know, gay male nurses running around, because I remember always thinking, like, where are all these gay nurses that I hope to meet? Maybe that would have been true in another area of the country. I don't know. But here in Huntsville, Alabama, that was not the case. The two or three gay male nurses that I did know of really never wanted to have anything to do with me. So I never really got into that social group. And maybe if I had, things would have been different as far as being on the prowl and having workplace romances and that sort of thing. But that's just not how it worked out for me. So I can't speak for anyone else, obviously. But I can't imagine there are a lot of people who are interested in hooking up inside the hospital. Like, gross. Who wants to do that? And also, you're supposed to be doing important medical things when you're in the hospital. I hate to think that patients are laying around in their own poo waiting on a nurse to show up who is off screwing around with somebody else in the supply closet. I'm going to guess that doesn't really happen as much as TV dramas make it seem like. At least I hope not. So now, as a nurse practitioner, just looking around, I would guess that more nurse practitioners are female than male. In my particular situation, I work pretty independently. I just see patients on my own. And even though Alabama is a collaborative practice state, and I work in the same office as my collaborating physician, we're on adjoining halls. So he has his exam rooms on one hall, and I have my exam rooms on the other hall. And really, I don't see him unless I need help with something. I'll go drag him over there if I need him to look at something that I don't know what to do with, or I'll run things by him. And he reads all of my notes. When I write a note, I just send it to him, and he looks at every one of them. But for the most part, I just do my own thing. And I see his patients for their, like, mid-year, six-month kind of follow-up, and then I see the patients that are just mine for all of their things. I mentioned on the other podcast that I took over the practice of a female physician. And as a practitioner, that is the only time that I've faced any kind of pushback just because I'm a male. Because for whatever reason, a lot of her patients were really only comfortable seeing a female doctor. And that was a big thing for quite a while, with a lot of the patients just being very, very nervous about seeing a male. I don't know how many left, but I'm sure some left because they just did not want to see a male. I think most of them stayed, however, and I think most of them now are comfortable with me. So I'm glad of that. The doctor that I took over for was really big on the one-stop shop model. And I think she was actually very interested in women's health issues. I don't know this, but I'm guessing she might have been interested in actually doing gynecology at some point. Whereas the doctor that I work for really prefers for patients to go to a gynecologist for all that sort of thing. And I definitely agree with that too. I can do a pap smear, and I do them fairly routinely for the one-stop shop folks who just don't want to go to a gynecologist. But that's definitely not my area of expertise. And if I do happen to find anything wrong, of course, they are going to have to go to a gynecologist anyway. I would say the majority of patients do have a gynecologist, or really, I would say a substantial proportion of the patient panel is actually over 65, so there's not much need for gynecology. But of the ones who still do cervical cancer screening and pelvic exams and all that, I feel like probably 80% of those people do go to gynecology, so that's good. I think that's really the right answer, because I know how to do a pap smear. I did a gynecology rotation in practitioner school, but at the end of the day, that is not my area. And it's entirely possible that if something was wrong, I would be way less likely to pick up on it, unless it was just very obvious. And so that makes me a little bit nervous, but I'll continue to do the cervical cancer screening for the patients who want it. It was definitely a big thing for some of those ladies to get used to the idea of a male doing their vaginal exam. Fortunately, we have another nurse practitioner who is a female. So I always offer for those patients, hey, if you prefer for the female nurse practitioner to do this, that's 100% fine. And, you know, maybe 20% of them will take me up on that, would prefer the female to do the procedure. But actually, for the most part, the ones who have stuck around who are committed to doing their gynecological screening in our office have really been okay with it. It would be interesting to actually try to figure out the number and the proportions and the percentages and all that of people who have stayed and who have gotten used to the idea of that and whatever. But just based on my personal feeling, I feel like those estimates are pretty accurate. So yeah, now that I'm talking through it and thinking about it, I guess right now is when I'm facing the most, I don't want to say adversity, the most pushback, I guess, from being a male in the role I'm serving in. But overall, I think it's been fine. Most of the patients have stayed and most of the patients seem pretty happy. So maybe I've made some headway there. Is there like a male version of the glass ceiling? There was some kind of ceiling there with a lot of these patients. The glass ceiling implies that it's there, but you can't see it. You only know it when you bump up against it. I'm going to call this the frosted glass ceiling because it was very clearly there, very clearly visible. So maybe I've busted through the frosted glass ceiling with some of these ladies. So yeah, I guess those are my thoughts about being a male nurse and now a nurse practitioner. It's not unusual these days for me to hear people say that their sons are considering going into nursing out of high school. And I would say go for it. Nursing is a great field, whether you're male or female or non-binary or whatever. And we need good people. So no matter what you identify as, come identify as a nurse and work with us. It'll be great.
All right, that does it for this episode of Knowledgeable Provider. I'm your host, Jody Marks. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to like or subscribe or follow and leave a nice 5-star review. And as always, stay safe, take care of yourself, and take care of your patients in that order. The people.